Welcome to the teaching ministry of Jubilee Church International. Jubilee is devoted to making disciples, winning the lost to Christ, building strong families, and taking the gospel to the nations. Open your Bibles and join us as the presence of the Holy Spirit helps us to grow a little deeper.
As long as you are allowing all the other voices to inundate your life, your soul, your heart, one of them will try to rule your heart. Some voice will try to rule your heart. And the voice of God is not going to argue with them. You have to choose to follow the voice of the Lord and let it rule your heart. But the reality is, those voices are there. Because they're a part of life. Responsibility or irresponsibility, either or, is a voice. Stress, anxiety, or peace is a voice. And they either come from the voice of self and darkness and humanism, or the voice of the Lord. You've got to choose which voice will rule your heart. Amen? And it's only in letting the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Word of God, the voice of God the Father rule your heart that you can truly walk in unity and know the will of God for your life. To follow His direction. You don't even... And so many times, even when I say to know the will of God for your life, sometimes that comes with a weight. We say, oh, I got to know the will of God. Listen, if you just submit to the known will of God, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as yourself. Flee unrighteousness. Flee from sin. Come on. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's the known will of God. Go and make disciples of every nation. Come on. Teaching them to obey my commandments, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the known will of God. If you just do that, God is sovereign enough to fulfill that which He desires in your life. But you gotta keep your heart connected. How do we keep our heart connected? Well, prayer is one. Staying in the Word is one. Serving is another. There's many ways God has given us. But we're going to look a little deeper this morning. Open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Starting with verse 37. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul. What does he mean, your soul? We've been talking about this, the five levels of the soul. That means I love him with all my nefesh, my flesh, my whole being, my mind, my thoughts. My innermost thoughts. Love Him with my nefesh. Love Him with my ruach, with every breath that is in me. Let me praise Him and acknowledge Him. This is what David said. Lord, I will haggah your word day and night. I will meditate on it. Didn't mean he sat around going, quoting scripture going, No, the word meditate, haggah, means, Lord, it's the only thing that will be on my mind. It will mold and shape how I think. It will be the only thing I let out of my lips. I will let no unclean thing come out of my lips. I'll let your law govern what comes out of me. Isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus made reference to that. He said, it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him. It's what comes out. Because out of the heart, out of the mouth comes the issues of the heart. The heart speaks. And from the heart come the issues of life. I will love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, my nefesh, my ruach, my breath. I will love Him with all my neshama. with all my will, my morals, my ethics, my values, my hopes, my dreams, my ambitions. I will love Him with all my chayah, complete surrender and my whole being, so that I may be what? Yakada, I may be in unity, one with Him, that my soul may be echad with Him. Lord, make us one. God, Jesus said, Father, make them one, echad, in unity, as we are in unity. He was referring to their soul, their being, their spirit, and they could only be one in what? In the Spirit of God. What happened in that upper room in Acts when they obeyed God and they all gathered in that upper room, and on that day of Pentecost, it wasn't by chance, it was on that day, that the Spirit of God fell upon them and they began to speak in other tongues and all that. And that's all wonderful. That was a gift. But the gift was a manifestation. The gift was just evidence. Come on. See, we can't go around condemning folks because they don't speak in tongues. Everybody may not speak in tongues. That's okay. Because I know some Christians that speak in tongues, but they are some devils. They got some devils in them. They'll speak in tongues over here and then gossip. Speak in tongues over here and then trash people. Speaking in tongues don't make you holy. What happened was unity. They came in one, not together, just being in unity together. I mean, you can have 20 people standing at a bus stop waiting on a bus, but that don't mean they're in unity. They all may be going different places. They all have the same common purpose. They're all waiting on the bus. But that don't make them in unity, does it? We can all sit in this room. We can all sing the same songs and sound like we're in unity. We can all hear the same sermon and think we're in unity. But when we go home and we start running our mouth, when we go home and we feel disconnected, well, those people, and then we start listening to that voice. Those people don't really love you. Those people don't really care about you. You missed 3 Sundays and nobody called you. You start listening to those voices. It doesn't matter all the other love you've been shown. Suddenly, that voice of disunity. He says, so love the Lord your with God with all your heart and with all your soul. Well, what's this heart thing? Okay, now, Pastor, you've explained to love God with all my soul. But what's this heart thing? Let's finish what he says. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like unto. In other words, you can't do the second one until you do the first one. You can't do the first one if you can't do the first one if you're not doing the second one. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, some people, that's a Hebrew idiom. In the context, in the linguistic way, or the way it's written, we often interpret that, and I've heard it interpreted, well, I got to love me, and if I don't love me, I can't love you. Well, there's some truth to that, but the reality is what's really being said here, it is to love your neighbor more than you. It's not love your neighbor just like you love you. It's not to love your neighbor equal to loving you. Because the Scripture says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control, right? It says above these there is no law. What does that mean, there is no law? It means there's no restraint, no restriction. See, because in the old Hebrew, in Jesus' day, when you get to talking about the heart of God or the attributes of God, there was the idea that God had to restrain His love to some degree. It's kind of like parenting. It's the idea that if you overlove your child, you'll spoil them. See, but the problem is we're using that in anthropomorphic terms. We're trying to take the love of God and put it in a humanistic concept. And when we do, when we try to overlove our children, we try to heap things upon them. We want everything for them. We want them to have more than we ever had. We want them to have everything they want and everything they desire. And we call that love. And we raise a little demon. A selfish, self-centered, socially dysfunctional human being comes from that. Let them do whatever they want. No discipline, no restraint. And then wonder why they're smoking dope. And we call that love. Call that parenting. But Jesus said, when you exercise the fruit of the Spirit and the way of God, there is no restraint. You can show, you can walk in as much peace as you can walk in. You can have all the joy God wants to give you. But there's other attributes, there's other keys to that. Seek first the kingdom of God, then all these things will be added unto you. And to walk in that fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness, patience, self-control, to walk in all that with unrestraint and have the fullness of the nature of God flowing through your life, there's a part you have to pay. Absolute surrender. You have to be in unity with that Spirit. If you're not in unity with the Spirit of God, you can't know the peace of God. If you're not in unity with the Spirit of God, you'll never understand the fullness of the love of God. You've got to walk in unity with it. So let's go on. And he says, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. What does that mean? It means the fullness of all of the kingdom of God rests upon this right here, love. Whose love? God's kind of love. You might say, but Pastor, this is such basic teaching. Where's the deep theology in that, right? We all know about the love of God. Let me tell you something Charles Spurgeon said. He said, if you learn all the doctrines of the Bible, but never learn to love, you live in heresy and idolatry. Let me say that again. Hear that. If you learn all the doctrines of the Bible, but never learn to love, you live in heresy and idolatry. You see, in the growing perfection of neighborly love, unity is achieved. When we love our fellow man and he loves us, there are two loves. There are two ahava. Two growing together in the bonds of Christ's love, reciprocated one to the other. And the love of God is then made perfect. This is perfect love. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Now, this is where we get into our demonstration. He had the voice of value and purpose. He had the voice of the distractions of life. He had the voice of God, all of them at the same time. And he had to choose what to do with some of those voices. Because those voices will either facilitate your connecting with the heart or being unity with God, or they will become distractions to your unity with God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, he says, keep your heart with all vigilance, or that means diligence. Diligence is a legal term. It means you've done all, when they say, I've done all due diligence. That means I've extended all of my resources and all of my means to accomplish this goal. And that's what he's saying here. extinguish everything, give everything that you have to keep your heart with all diligence. For from it flow the springs or the issues of life. What do you think the issues he means by issues? Conflicts? Or peace? Or the directions? Or wisdom? Understanding? All from this, relationships, all of this flows out of the heart. What issues are flowing out of your life? Let me ask you, is your heart in unity with the heart of the Father? And let me tell you something, many times we are deceived by this lie. We think we know our heart, but let me tell you something. Nobody knows your heart like God. God knows your heart better than you. So don't ever think you know your heart, because that opens the door for pride. You become unteachable, uncorrectable, unchangeable, untransformable. God can do nothing more with you when you think you know you. Because when you think you know you, you take charge of you. And it's your life. I'm going to do it my way, as Elvis said. I did it my way, right? What did his way get him? 6 foot under. Confusion. I've never seen a man love singing gospel music so much as Elvis did. He loved it, grew up singing it. It was the basis and the foundation of his whole singing career was gospel music. Yet had no clue of the love of God. Had no knowledge of it. And some of the songs, how can you sing, "How Great Thou Art"? I mean, he sang it better than anybody. It's one of my favorite songs. Man, he could sing that song. And the chills run up your spine when he sang that song. In Vegas. In the midst of darkness. Shaking his leg. And you know what? Him and all those listening had no clue of the love of God. Why? Heart. He didn't have the heart for God. You can sing of God. You can speak of God. If you don't have the heart for God. You can go to church. You can read your Bible. You can have it highlighted and notes all in it. You can be of a certain denomination or persuasion and still go to hell. See, keep your heart. Does your heart beat as one with his? The Hebrew word for heart is this. Okay. It is the Hebrew word levav. Levav. Keep your heart with all vigilance, your levav. You shall love the Lord your God with all your levav, with all your soul. It is referring to the thoughts, the reasoning, the judgments. It is the will, the affections. It is love, it is anger, it is hatred, it is fears, it is joys, it is sorrows. It's your behavior, your actions. In essence, it's the direction in which we go. The way in which we live. The attitudes. The words, the choices that we make. Now in Proverbs, he says, the first thing he starts there in chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs says, keep your heart. Keep your levav. The word for keep there is the word shamar. There are actually two words for the word keep. And we're going to look at which one is actually being used here. The first word for the word keep is shamar. And the second thing he says, keep it with what? Diligence. That is the word netzor. Both of them mean to keep, to watch, or watch over, or to guard. However, the word shamar means to keep by guarding or being aware. In other words, be alert. Be on the watch of what's trying to get in, and recognize and use discernment what you let into your heart, what you let your heart think or do or feel. Keep it, watch over it with diligence, right? But watch this. The word netzor means to guard by concealing that the heart may be scrutinized. Uh-oh. So let me give you an example. Have you ever had somebody get angry and all of a sudden they blurt out, "I hate you"? Something comes out of them. And then later they come back and say, "I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that." Oh, no, no, no. What you really mean is you didn't mean for it to come out. You've had that concealed. You didn't mean for it to, oops. Because what happened is your anger got the best of you and you lost watch over that which was concealed in your heart and oops. Came out. Does that mean you really hate that person? No. It's this. It's God revealing. See? I know what's in there. I know what's in there. You can try to keep it concealed, but I know the bigotry that's in your heart when you say those people. I know. God knows. Netzor, it means to conceal by scrutinizing. And it would be better that you scrutinize your heart than to wait on God. Because when God comes to scrutinize it, it won't be pretty. Scrutinizing. Go ahead and say, "God, I surrender all of my heart to you. Cleanse it. Make it pure. That there's nothing displeasing, God." See, this is important. The key word here is netzor. And it's spelt like this. Nun. Tazid. Let me fix that. Tazid and Resh. Let's look at this. The nun. The nun represents in the Hebrew is a symbol representing faith. Sadi. I'm actually doing that backwards. Sadi represents humility. And the resh represents the Holy Spirit. So here's what's happening when he says, keep your heart with all diligence. Keep it with diligence. Keep it with netzor. The context is that by faith, we humble our lives to the sovereign reign and rule of the Holy Spirit. By faith, belief. Remember, there's two key elements to faith. Belief and obedience. By belief and obedience, I surrender, I humble my entire life, my whole heart to the reign and the rule of the Holy Spirit. And when we fully surrender our whole hearts to God, He unites our heart with His. In Psalms 133, Joshua, you can switch back to the scripture there. In Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3, this is what he says. Behold how good and pleasant it is when the brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down onto the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For the Lord has commanded the blessing of life forever. Here's the picture in reference to Nassar. It's the complete saturation into the presence and the heart of God. It's completely being baptized or submersed in the heart of God, that the presence and the anointing and the favor of God covers your whole life. You get soaked in it. Amen. You're drenched in it. How many of you have ever been in the rain and you got soaking wet and you came in dripping like this? I mean, down to your socks. Everything got soaked and wet. And how does that make you feel? Wet. Imagine being submerged. Imagine that same feeling only in the presence of God. That you feel it on your skin. I mean, you feel it. You know, when you get soaked and wet, how many is when you've been baptized and you got those jeans, we get soaked, don't we?
Yep.
And your clothes stick to your skin.
Yep.
Your jeans stick to you. Your shirt sticks to you. Everything is it's stuck to you. That's what God wants. God wants you so submersed in His heart that it sticks to you. That He's as close as your skin. That you can feel Him and you're drenched in it, and it may seem uncomfortable, but you get used to it. Believe me, when I was a soldier, we'd be doing patrols all night and foot marches, and I mean, we'd be out there tranching through the woods and all that, and it'd just be pouring down rain, and it didn't stop us. And you, after a while, you got used to it. At first you tried to stay dry, but then you realize it was futile. It was worthless. Just go ahead and get soaked. Amen. That's what God wants. For you to be soaked in His presence. That His heart so becomes your heart. Your heart so becomes His that it defines who you are. See, to live together by God's standards is to live together with God. And to sow disunity from the idolatrous heart, you can't live in unity with God. But when the family of God lives in unity, it's like the anointing and the fragrant favor of God flowing down the beard of the Kohen HaGadol, the high priest. That's what it means there. It's referring to Aaron and the anointing. When God told Moses to anoint him, the anointing was a consecration. It was an assignment. It was more than a duty and an obligation. It was a divine, sovereign assignment upon not only Aaron's life, but his entire legacy. It's like that oil being poured on the Kohen HaGadol, the high priest. But who is our high priest?
Jesus.
Jesus was our high priest. And down over the head of the entire body of Christ does His anointing flow. So the favor of God flows in your life when your heart is connected to the heart of God. But that connection must include unity with your brothers and sisters in Christ. So anytime you're not in unity, you let disunity slip in. You let conflict, you let those other voices begin to distract. The enemy comes in and is robbing you of your unity with God. So when the Bible speaks of unity, Let me ask you this, because this is often the question I get. Well, okay, does it mean that I always have to agree with everybody at church? I always got to be in agreement? My dad, I love my dad, used to talk about the difference between agreeing and being in agreement. There's a big difference. A husband and wife, let's say the husband wants a new truck. And the wife says, we can't afford that new truck. Yeah, but I want that new truck. So he walks around pouting. He's mad. Because he wants that new truck. And finally she says, okay, I agree. Go get you a new truck. So he goes and gets a new truck, and I mean, he has all kinds of issues and problems, and they next thing you know, they're having money problems, financial issues, there's constant conflict, and there's stress now, and there's anxiety, and he's listened to that other voice. He's got to go get work extra overtime and extra hours. He's got to get three jobs to pay for that new truck. Now, we got unity? Did we have agreement? No, we agreed. We weren't in agreement. Agreement says, you know what, honey? I trust you manage the finances. I'm trusting. You know what? If God wants me to have that new truck, He'll provide a way. And until then, I will be content and I will trust the Lord. And I'll make sure that my wife has the best vehicle.
There you go.
Let me throw that in there,
there
men.
You go. That's
right. Make sure my wife, my daughters have good vehicles before I go get me a new truck. So that's what a real man does. Takes care of his wife. Take care of your woman. You ain't taking care of your wife, you need to grow up. Amen? Unity. You can be in you can agree, but that don't mean you're in agreement. Amen? And so, that connection has to be in you. Do I have to agree with everybody? Do I have to agree with all my brothers and sisters in Christ? No, but you have to be in agreement. What does that mean? It does mean we never have, it doesn't necessarily mean we might not have disagreements. What it does mean is this: we always agree in God.
Amen.
We agree with God. Even if we don't agree, we need to be in agreement with God. You see? It means we agree with God. To agree with God means you live as He commanded. You treat others as He commanded. You love as He commanded. It means your values line up with His values. Your morals are in line with His moral standards. It means you are a peacemaker. It means you prefer reconciliation above your own way or being right. Even with your brothers and sisters in Christ. See, God puts it this way to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 through 10. Now, I'm going to read it and then we're going to break it down. Jeremiah chapter 17. The heart, listen to what he says about the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things. That's why you hear people say, oh, just follow your heart, honey. Why would, no. Don't tell them to follow their heart. Look what God says about the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Next verse. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. To give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. So if God says my heart is deceitful and wicked and sick, how can it be in unity with Him? How can I be in unity with my brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, let's look to understand this. Joshua, if you'll go back to my pad. Here we go. The heart, there's to understand what's happening here. The word heart, we said, was levav. But there's another term for the heart being used here, and it is just lav, or is pronounced lav. It's written for the transliteration, it would be L-E-B. But it's lav, right here. And this refers to the thinking, the appetites, the emotions, or the passions of man. And this is what he's talking about in Jeremiah. He's saying the thinking, the appetites, the emotions, and the passions of man is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately sick. Or the Hebrew word for sick there is anosh. It means it's wicked, it's incurable, it's diseased, it's grieved. It grieves God. Who can understand it? The Lord searched this heart, the lav, and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to his deeds. But note that in Proverbs, where we read earlier, it says we are to guard our heart. In Proverbs, it is referring to the lavav, as we said earlier. Notice the difference here. What is added? Well, what relevance does that have? I'm going to show you. The added vav in the Hebrew, remember when Abraham was Abram and God came and changed his name to Abraham? He added the he to his name. He changed Sarai to Sarah. He added the hay. The hay represents the breath of God, the Ruach HaKodesh, the divine breath, or the Holy Spirit, which transformed them. Why? Because they had to be made somebody different than who they were in order for God to make a covenant with them. Because God could not make a holy covenant with unholy men. They had to become something different. God had to take them through a process of transformation so that He could make this covenant with them. And so He breathed upon them His Holy Spirit and transformed them. So when people say, well, the Holy Spirit, it's not in the Old Testament. What are you talking about? It's all in it. It's in Genesis. When God said, let there be, that was the Ruach HaKodesh. That was the breath of God breathing. Try to speak without breathing. How long can you do that? Try to hold a conversation. And I know some people that can talk so much, you can't get a word in. It's like, dude, breathe. If you breathe for a second, I can respond. But no, you can't do that, right? The breath of God transform them into somebody new. That's something that's happening here with the heart. This is what the point. There's something happening here between the heart that is in Proverbs and the heart that is in Jeremiah. The heart in Jeremiah is wicked, is sick, it's diseased, it's unredeemable. But not with God, because listen, what's impossible with man is possible with God. The heart in Proverbs, he says, the idea is that God has done something here with this heart. Now keep it. Guard it. Scrutinize it. Proverbs, we are to guard the lavav, not just the lav. The added vav tells us something about our lives and our souls in surrendered worship in the presence of God. The vav in the Hebrew represents a tent peg, as used in Exodus 27 verses 9 through 10. It is a hook that secures the curtain or the enclosure around the tabernacle, the Mishkan, and the post Amudim. Or the post. So picture this. You got the tabernacle that God gave to Moses. And there was a curtain that went around it. That was the enclosure that when you walked into it, you left your old life and you walked in into the presence of God. You walked into a place where you come and you sacrifice and you surrender everything and you receive God's grace, His forgiveness, and you repent to Him and you make sacrifice and the blood is spilled and you come in and the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies that you may be reconciled with God. And all that old heart's left out there, and you come in so that God may redeem you, and you leave with a new heart. So that you can then go out and guard that new heart with all diligence that the favor of God may be upon you. And you, if you had conflict with your brother, you came in, you repented to him, and then you came into the presence of God, and you repented so that when you go back out, you're now reconciled with your brother, and you can be in unity with them and be in unity with God. Not go out and stir up more conflict. Not go out and sin again. Woody and I were talking about this last night. Well, some folks think, well, be holy and then sin. Be holy and sin. Be holy and sin. And then they do it enough. They think that, well, I need a theology that supports my lifestyle.
Yeah. Right.
So I can sin and still be holy. No. Be holy and still sin. Nope. You got the Jeremiah heart, see? You got that sick, diseased heart. So the heart he's talking about in Proverbs to keep the lavab, it's that peg, it's that tent peg that secures that restraint, that boundary, so that I might stay in the presence of God. See, when our hearts are lavav, are anchored in God, our souls are secured in His presence. When they are not, when our heart is just lav, it's sick. It's a nosh. Our souls are sickened. Thus in Proverbs 13:12 it states, hope deferred makes the lav sick. A nosh. But a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. What desire? When my desires line up with His desire. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3-8, God says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your levav, your heart. Not just your love, your levav. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Be in unity. Be one. Trust in the Lord with all your levav, your heart, and do not lean onto your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, but fear. The word fear there is yare. It means to honor morally in the highest reverence. Fear the Lord and turn away from your evil. It will be healing to your flesh, your shayar, S-H-O-R-E, your shoror, or actually your shoror. Now watch this. In the Hebrew, the flesh, the word flesh there is not nefesh. It's shoror, H or S-H-O-R-E. Watch this. It means it's a reference to the umbilical cord. A reference. Be not wise in your own understanding, turn away from evil. It will be healing to your umbilical cord. What does that mean? It's making a reference not to your physical umbilical cord. But what was the umbilical cord? It was that place where when you were connected to that place where you were submerged and saturated in your mother's womb, and life was, God was forming and shaping and molding you in His image. Come on. And life was being provided to you. Amen? That's why the word Eve, when God brings Isha to Ish, okay? Adam says what? She is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. He's referring to the umbilical cord. We are connected. We're in unity. We're one. I can't live without her. She can't live without me. We need each other so that we can be in unity. And when we're in unity, we are one. We are the fullness of the nature of God. When we're apart, we're not. And that's why, how many of you know what the word Eve means in Hebrew? Life. It means life. And so this is a reference to that umbilical cord. And in its etymology, it is a reference to the nerves. So listen to what he says. And refreshment, it will become refreshment to your bones, estem, or the self-same substance in life. The following, then, are essential keys to reconnecting your heart and staying connected in unity with God. I'm going to go through these real quick. As the Scripture gives us essential keys to staying connected, now that we have a little bit of understanding of the heart, how do we keep that levav connected to the heart of God? Romans chapter 16, verse 17, he tells us to avoid those who cause division. You got to silence those voices that are contradicting the voice of the Lord. You've got to avoid those that cause division. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 tells us, do not be anxious. In other words, trust in God. Be at ease, be at peace. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7, he tells us, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. You notice this is already developing a process. Silence the other voices. Get connected with God. Be at peace. Humble myself. John 14, 27. Don't fear. Don't let fear come in. And I'm afraid many times I hear a lot of singing about fear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I don't fear. You have no place here. And we're singing all these songs about fear. But don't mistake fear of the Lord for your self-same fear of your own. He's talking about fleshly fear. Psalms 34, 17 through 19. Stay broken. Stay broken. Isaiah 40, 31, hope in the Lord. Deuteronomy 31, 6, know that you are not alone. Psalms 112, verses 6 through 8, stay steadfast. In other words, stay consistent. Stay connected. Stay steady. Don't back down from serving and pursuing and chasing after God. Stay steadfast. Don't waver. Don't doubt. 2 Timothy 1:7. Live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Live in the love of Christ and self-discipline. Be a disciple. Not a spectator. Not just even a participator. Be a disciple. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust God. Romans 8, 28. Serve God's purpose, not your own. That's just what Eddie was dealing with. Amen? Serve God's purpose. And it's real easy to start out serving God's purpose and all of a sudden the motive changed to your purpose. As soon as the words come out of your mouth, my ministry. See, there's no unity in when you say, it's my ministry, my vision, my this, I that. When we start growing in unity, we quit using those type of words like me, my, and I. When we start using we and us, our church, our youth group, our young adults, our choir, our worship team, we, Jubilee, did this. We, Jubilee, ministered to Muslims in Pakistan. And 107 gave their life to Christ. We did that. Who's we? Not just we, Jubilee. We with God. Amen? Serve God's purpose, not your own. Isaiah 41:10. Live righteous. Romans 5:8. Live repentant. Psalms 86:15. Be gracious. Be in peace. Be patient. And finally, Romans 8:38 and 39. Live convinced. Live convinced that God is faithful to keep and complete that which He started in you. Amen? I close with this. It's so easy to let our hearts drift from the Lord when life is so filled with distractions, as we saw. Filled with troubles and sorrows. It's so easy to feel far from His presence when we are so overcome with the day-to-day issues and the bombardment of the flesh and the chaos of the world we live in. It's so easy to buy into the lie that we have messed up or we cannot seem to change our hearts and the ways that cause division within ourselves, within our relationships around us. It's easy to buy that lie. The best place to start is to reconnect with the heart of God. With the cry of David. Close with Psalms. Look with me. Psalms 51. This is the place to start and reconnect with the heart of God. The cry of David. David had all these conflicts. Just like you saw the demonstration, Eddie and them. But you think David dealt with that? Sure he did. Listen to what his cry was. Psalms 51, starting with verse 10. As we close, create in me a clean levav. He's saying, Lord, my love is anosh, it's sick, it's diseased. So create in me, clean it, renew it, change my heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation. And uphold me with a willing spirit. Come on, Tori. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation. And my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth would declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. For the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, these you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure and build up the walls of Jerusalem. In other words, anchor me, secure me to your heart. Then will you delight in the right sacrifices? Then you will delight in the sacrifice and the burnt offerings of a whole burnt offering. Then the bulls will be offered and then all will be offered at your altar. See, we can't do anything for God You can sing the songs. You can come in and worship. You can be benevolent. You can be giving. You can be in the worship team, the choir. You can have a ministry and go out and save souls and do all that. But if your heart isn't right before God, He takes no pleasure in it. You see, I don't want to just live and do for God. I want God to find pleasure in all that I am to Him. I don't want to just preach and God go, well, that was a good sermon. You did the, you preached well and you heard, you know, but God, were you pleased with it? See, I don't know. I don't want to get to the point. I'm coming off the stage and the first thing I want to hear is Pastor Woody go, well, that's a great sermon. Well, that, thank you. I appreciate that. But God, were you pleased?
Amen.
I know Woody enjoyed it, but God, were you pleased? I mean, I gave an altar call and nobody came and responded, but that's not the point. Were you pleased, Father? Because I, you know, I knew growing up as a young man, as all young men, when I sought my father's affirmation, I thought, boy, if I'm good at football, He'll affirm me as a man. Well, you know, if I join the army, then He'll affirm me as a man. But it wasn't until I began to serve the Lord and walk in my identity that suddenly my Father affirmed me, not just as a man, but as a man of God. But by then, it wasn't Him that I wanted to please, because what He had taught me was to please God. God, You're the one I want to please. That's the heart God wants. That's the heart that walks in unity. That's the heart that even though somebody says something that offends me, I'm not offended. I might be for a minute, but I get over it. Because I understand there's always that guy and I need to take that offense and go have him go take a time out. You take that part of my heart that got offended, welled up within me, and go, oh, that's pride, man. Pride man got offended. Pride man needs to take time out. He'll sit in the corner. Let unity man come in. Dun da da. Unity man. Stand with me if you will. That's where God wants us. In unity. You know, I hear preachers preach all the time about being church in unity, and every pastor wants unity because that's what God wants. That's what God's coming back for, a unified church, not a divided church. But if we don't understand unity, how can we practice what we don't know? And how can we know unless we first let God search our hearts? Because we can only be in unity when we're connected to the heart of Father. Come on, pray with me this morning. Father, we just come to You this morning. Teach us unity. Scrutinize our hearts. That we not have the heart of Jeremiah, but let us cry as David. Not the heart that You spoke of in the book of Jeremiah. Lord, I don't want that heart. I don't want that deceitful, sick heart. That's quickly wounded, that's listening to the voice of distraction. But God, create in me a clean heart. And I will guard it with all diligence, that I might be in unity, one with my brothers and sisters in Christ. That we may be in unity with You. That the oil may flow down from our high priest. Flow into our lives. Flow into our lives. Come on.